So you've come today, and I've come today. And today I want you to hear this. I will not fear. So the message of the day, the title, whatever we want to call it, is I will not fear. I will not fear. You need to speak that to yourself many times over, I think. I have to. How about you? I will not fear. And I'm saying this not to make myself look prideful and all that. It's a very bold statement to make, isn't it? That I will not fear. You've got to put that into your spirit, man, and you've got to say, I will not fear. But we serve God, and as we honor God, as we surrender our lives to God, we can make such statements. And it's not boasting. We're not being prideful. We're just making a statement. We're making a statement because God has made that statement to us. I'm just repeating what He's told me. And that's His word. We find that encouragement and that level of trust. You know, we've been on faith, faith, faith. I'm going to tell you, to sit there and to say, I will not fear, is going to take faith. Because there's a lot of stuff shaking. But I'm going to stand on His word by faith. We can make that statement because God tells us in His word. Hebrews is the passage that we will just look at briefly in Hebrews chapter 13. Chapter 13, Hebrews verse 6 is where you're going to find that. So the writer of Hebrews pins this for us. And it says in 13:6, so we may, New King James says this, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can mere man do to me? Amplified takes it a little bit more this way and says, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Isn't that something? Be encouraged and to confidently say that, to be in confidence that when I say boldly, the Lord is my helper, I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Now, we're looking at these things in life and the context of things, and we know that if we take that stand and it comes to that point in our Christian walk to where somebody says, deny your faith or I'm going to kill you. And that's a test that's going to be maybe for some of us here or maybe down the road generations. I don't know. But it's like, would you be able to stand and say, I'm not going to fear you even though you can take my life out. And if you take my life out, I'm going to what God has promised me in His kingdom because this place that I'm at anyway is temporal, you know. And I'm not saying, hey, let's just go out there and just stand up there and you know, be shot and stuff like that. But I'm saying that there are parts and places that could come about. Because that's coming about in today, even now as we speak, in other countries. Many third world countries, men, women, children, are losing their life because they confess what? Christianity. They confess Jesus Christ. Deny Him. No. Deny Him. No. And these families, these men, these women, they're so strong. And I don't know that strength. It has to come from God, don't you think? Because of what they know and what they have trusted from Him and the faith they have in Him and His Word, that they can stand there. But let's look at this as far as even in our day and just going through life, as far as we have a lot of people that are in fear. They fear of so many things. Now, when we look at this word fear, in the Greek it would kind of come out as phobio. Well, where do phobio? Gee, Anybody heard the word phobia? You know how we get that? It's defined as a panic that grips a person, fear, a panic that grips a person, causing them to run away, to be alarmed, scared, frightened, dismayed, filled with dread, intimidated, anxious, and apprehensive. Wow. Fear! You know, what can man do to me? Now we're talking about, you know, if that time comes or confessing your faith or whatever, or denying him. But look at this in just our life today and what we go through. How many people do you know that are dismayed, that are going through intimidations? They're anxious. You know, doesn't God's word say, be anxious for nothing, you know? They're apprehensive. There's just a lot of emotions and a lot of things out there that we're dealing with, and it all ties into this fear in any one of these areas. Don't you see how important it is to read and meditate on God's word? We look around, and what do you see in the world today? What do you see in your own little world? Forget the world at large. Just let's look at you, each one. Look at your own world that you're in. And what do you see? You know, we've got to bring this closer to home. We sometimes speak a lot of the generalities of, oh, the world and around the nation and all this, and we see all that. But we got to get to the point of, what do you see in your own individual world that you're in? We're all in our own little world doing things. World is taking place. Life is taking place in our life, even as I speak. Many people are running in fear, dealing with panic attacks. Anybody ever had a panic attack? Panic attacks will send you to the hospital thinking you're having a heart attack. You know? It's just your whole system, your heart, your pulse and everything, and blood pressure. Oh, my goodness. You go, doctor, I'm having a heart attack. I just know I got pain and this and that. And they go, after all the checks, they go, well, this checks out fine. Your heart's this. That's fine, 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 fine. You're having a panic attack. How many people know people that are being anxious? They're just, they day in and day out, they're anxious. They're like, you know, my goodness, it's like a, every day, anxious, just anxious. They can't find peace. When you're anxious, you can't find peace. And God is of peace. We find comfort and strength and peace in Him. But if we allow fear to come into our lives, even as Christians, even as children of His, you will find even a child of God will be anxious. A child of God will have panic attacks. All of these things come upon us. Feeling of dismay. So today I want to focus just what this fear is and how it attaches itself to the people. And it's not necessarily people in the world, because yes, they're going through the same things. But what about those of us that are in His church? What about those of us that are Christ followers, that we are in God's kingdom? We profess that, confess that, believe it, and I believe you are, as we speak, that I am a child of God and I serve in a different kingdom, right? You're serving in a different kingdom. We're just here temporarily. We're here at this point in time, but I'm an ambassador to this place. I'm a sojourner. I look out, I see a lot of peculiar people. And I'm glad. Because God's word says we are a peculiar people. So if people look at you and say, man, you're peculiar. How do you deal with this? What is going on? Well, first of all, I say, well, thank you for noticing that I'm peculiar and that I'm not of this world. I'm passing through. I'm a sojourner. I'm an alien in this place, whatever it might be, you know. But I'm serving my God while I'm here. And I hope people see Him through me. I hope they see Him through me as how I deal with anxiousness. How do I deal with dismay? How do I deal with anxiety? Why don't you get panic attacks? I tell you what. So I'm not standing here today and telling you at times that I've not had fear. Who in here today, sometime in the past, week, month, whatever, that you've had fear? Something's come upon you. We all, generally, will one time or another come into that level of fear. And it's not to say, well, how dare you, oh ye of little faith, you know, all of these things. Remember, it's not to be boastful and all that. Well, I've never been fearful. Well, then you're a liar, really. Because there's always been something, an anxiousness, of dismay, of some of the things that we've just talked about, being frightened, filled with dread, being apprehensive, being alarmed. Maybe in my life it's been more of anxiousness and being dismayed more than fear, but fear is the overall word that covers all of that. So it's just whatever you want to look at, you know. No, I've not had any fear. Have you ever been anxious for anything to happen? Yeah. Well, gosh, that's a derivative of fear. You know, that's part of that. So see, we deal with those things, and that's going to happen. But today, what we want to look at and understand is, like in the Hebrew writer here saying that, is that so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Do you tell yourself that when you're going through a trial and a tribulation and stress and dismay and anxiousness and intimidation and apprehensiveness? Do you find time as you're going through the litany list of all these things that my emotions and what I'm going through to sit there and say, but my God is my helper. My Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Amen. You got to make those statements. You know what? You got to hear yourself tell yourself that. If you need to, you need to get in your house, you need to get in the bathroom, especially in the bathroom where it echoes, because everybody sings beautifully in the bathroom. You know, take somebody that sings off key and it sounds wonderful in there. It's like, wow, it's a symphony. This guy's got a voice. La 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 la. You know, come out in the living room, it's like, ah, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, get back in the bathroom, please. And get to those confined spaces. But you may need to find some place in your house, in your bed, in a closet, in your bedroom, somewhere, in the car, whatever, and you might need to boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, look at that little cute bunny rabbit. Don't you find bunny rabbits are pretty like easy to intimidate, aren't they? I mean, you just look at one and all of a sudden their little nose and their ears twitch and they go, pew, you know? The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals, man, do to me? Yeah, maybe we need to be like that little bunny rabbit. Man, them things are very skitterish. Doesn't take much for them to just go, pew, 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 you know. It's like, I don't know how they go. And then to watch like a cat or something, a dog chasing after it, it's like, oh my gosh, man, that is something. Their mobility and changing the path. But anyway, looking at that rabbit, what can mere mortal do to me? But you know, as myself, and I'm talking about myself in this areas of maybe anxiousness and things of that nature. At times, it's like I've got myself, I had to get back to the Word, as we look at these things, but it's like they weigh me down. They cause me to lose focus of God. And that's really what the enemy wants you to do. He just wants to maybe inflict you with enough whatevers, what ifs. Are you sure it's going to be that way? Are you sure you're going to have that? Do this, whatever the case is, and the things of today that we deal with. The enemy would like to just put just enough what-ifs there that you develop a doubt. Then you begin to look at it yourself, and you say, you know, by me looking at this, I can see where this is a pretty difficult thing. I really don't know if it's going to come to what I really need it to be or come to my benefit or whatever that case might be. But when that hits me, I've had to quickly understand and go back to God because I'm a child of God. He's my Father in heaven. All good things come from Him. Amen. And even though I go through a struggle or things are disarrayed or things are up and upside down, and you know what is upside down in my world, you may look at it and say, oh my gosh, that's upside down. You call that a problem? Well, let me tell you what I'm going through. And you know, when you tell me yours, I might think, oh my gosh, that is a lot worse than what I'm going through. Mine's not so bad, you know. The world would say misery loves company. I think in our Christian circles, I would say misery, if you got misery, let's pray about it. Let's agree in prayer and let's come out of that time of misery. Let's come out of that time of doom and gloom. Let's come out of that dismayed and all the things that come upon us that takes our focus and our eyes off of what God is telling us, because God is truly wanting to keep us and telling us by His Word and through that of the Holy Spirit that I am your God. I will take care of you. It might be a problem. It might cause you some duress for a while, but you've got to trust me, Tim. I will see you through. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. In my natural eyes, I don't see a way. With my trust in my God, I say, God, you know a way. And I'm going to trust you, Father. And I may not see it in the natural right now because I'm in the heat of the battle, but Lord, I've got to focus and believe and boldly say, you are my helper. What shall I fear? Then I got to say it again. And then again. And then again. And then again. It's not a one-time thing where you might say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. You might say, have to say it 25 times a day. That does not mean you're weak in faith. All you're doing is you're just confirming a fact. And if nothing else, you're telling the devil, the Lord is my helper, whom will I fear? If I'm not going to fear man or mere mortal, I'm not going to fear you, the devil, the defeated foe. As much as you want to try to destroy my life and create havoc in my life, I'm not going to allow it. I'm not focusing on the problem. I'm focusing on the one that can take care of the problem. God. Amen. Many times when we talk to people, you hear them and they talk over and over and over and they just keep bringing up it's the problem and this issue and this thing has a hold of me and this and this and this. It's like, have you not given it over to God? Have you not gone to God with that concern, with that situation, to where you can, what does it say? Cast your cares. Cast that burden over to me. When we do those things, when we cast that care, that burden to Him, He's there to be the burden taker upper. Amen. And then I can sit there and say, oh, the Lord is my helper. I will no longer fear. Helper. Let's look at that just quickly. So what is this about a helper? And the Greek breakdown of that, it's like ba-e-thos or something like ba-e-thos. I don't know how to pronounce all those things, but as I break it down, it does say this to me. Ba, B-A-H, equals a cry for those. A cry for help. When I saw that, when I was putting this together, I thought of that goat. Wasn't it the goats go, ba? Ba! You know, it's like, ba! So we find out, helper, beginning of it, talks about it as a cry for help, and thos, T-H-O-S-S, I guess, is to run. Now, what this is describing in God's Word is this, that, so we're describing one who comes running when we cry for help. In the natural, when you need help and you cry out for help, isn't it nice to see people running your way to help you? Help! Help! Here comes the army. Here comes the people. Here comes my family. Whatever the case is, here comes one person to come and help me. So we're describing one who comes running when we cry for help. The Word describes the Lord as He's poised. He's ready to rush to the relief of His oppressed children when they shout for assistance. You've got to believe it. You've got to build that faith level up to that. Like when you're going through a trial, a tribulation, dismay, anxiousness, turmoil, apprehensiveness, panic, whatever, cry out, realizing that God is there. He's hearing that, and He will come running. He will send the result. He will send the answer. He will do whatever is necessary to come into your assistance. You got to believe it. You got to trust Him. You got to have faith. All this stuff is all wrapped up in our walk with God. Okay, so it's a delay. There are times that that answer and as He's coming is a delay because He's battling other extremes in the spiritual realm to get to what you're doing and going through, but that doesn't mean He hasn't heard your plea from the very first and that the help isn't being dispatched to come and take care of that. It'd be great to cry out and like in 15 seconds, taken care of. Awesome, God. Powerful. Hallelujah. Send me something else. I'll battle that. Help, Lord. Take care of this. Boom. No, that'd be great. But it sometimes, generally, most of the time, doesn't happen that way. It's a time of us being strong. It's a time of us to stand. Because in His Word, He says, when all else fails, what are you to do? Sit down. Roll over. Lay down. Go to sleep. No. He says, when all else fails, you are to stand. I don't care if nothing else, if you've got the problem here and the answer doesn't seem to be coming as quick as you need it and you're still going through it, maybe you need to stand, and not only just stand, I would say take one step forward to show the devil that I am going to stand. And I'm not relinquishing what I'm saying. I'm not going to give up for what I know, because I know my God. Thing is, the devil knows God more of God than we do sometimes. But once the devil gets an idea that, wow, not only did he just come up and stand where he's at shaken, he took a step or she took a step forward and boldly stood there and said, I am standing and I'm going to continue to stand because the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What can mere man, what can mere devil do to me? You want to take me out, devil, and strike me down and kill me? So be it. Send me to glory sooner than what maybe God had planned for me, but I'm going to glory. And you didn't win. Actually, you just helped me. You know? Because now you've set me on to be in God's army in the heavenlies, getting ready to come back. It's like, hey, I got promoted to go up, so later on when it's time to come down, He's going to send me down with the troops, and I'm going to battle, I'm going to do whatever He wants. We're coming! But I am not going to fear. I've had enough of panic attacks. I've had enough of being dismayed. I've had enough of being frightened, filled with dread. I'm tired of being intimidated because of what you're doing to me, devil. See, the devil will use things of your past to keep bringing up to things for today so that he can keep you dealing with the past. And if the devil can keep you dealing with the past, you're not going to be presently dealing with the things of God. And if you're dealing with your past, you're not going to continue to go forward with the things of God, because God is moving God. God says, hey, you don't pack and pitch a tent back there where your problems were at. Okay, you come through those, you come through that valley, you come over that river, I'm going to part that river so you can walk through on dry ground. Notice He didn't say, I'm going to part the river and now you can put your tents right there in the middle of it. No, it was like the children of Israel, I'm going to part and make the way easy for you, but you've got to keep what? Going, moving, going forward. Don't turn back, don't look back, don't think back, think forward. Forward thinking. It's a battle we're in. So much of God's Word and God's directions is like that of a military type thing taking effect. And it's like you keep going forward. Don't give up the ground that God has given you. You know, I'm going to the enemy's camp. And I'm going to take back what he stole from me. Take back what he stole from me. See, the enemy is stealing your ground. He's stealing your peace. He's stealing your joy. He's stealing whatever it is, strength, emotions, emotions. The devil is taking all of these things from you as much as he can. The devil wants to drain you to where you're nothing but just a dried up kernel of nothing. You're parched. You're dry. Parched seeds don't grow. Parched seeds eventually will be blown away, never to fulfill what they were designed to fulfill. And the devil wants to do that with us as a seed. Oh, I'm of the seed of Abraham. They didn't have an easy life. They went through a lot of struggles. Why do we think that when we come to God that everything's going to be simple? You know, patty cake, baker's man, you know. We're going to bake a cake and whatever. It's a battle. There's a warring going on in our spirits or out in the spiritual realm. But it's not to be fearful. It's not to be scared. It's to be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with me. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with me, and I will not be dismayed. Stuff like that. I will not be ashamed, for I'm marching in truth and victory, because I'm marching in truth and victory. I'm marching. See, we're marching to a different thing. The devil has his people marching in lies and deception. But I'm marching in truth and victory. Yes, I'm marching in truth and victory. For the Lord my God is with me. Is he with you? Amen. It's marching off. Grab your arms and let's go fight. I'm not going out and looking for the devil. I don't want to fight the devil. I just want to honor my God, love my God, praise my God, worship my God, be in his presence. But I'm going to tell you, if the devil comes across my path and he's between me and God, I'm going to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Lord, make a way where there seems to be no way. Blow him off of my path, whatever the case might be. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to fear any longer. I'm not going to allow the things of the past to bring up and conjure up within me and get me thinking to the back. I want to think forward thinking with my life with God. We've all had bad past and things that happened in the past that were not good. But I want to focus on the things of what God has for me. I hope you do too. And I want it to be where boldly... where was that? Ooh. Hebrews is a powerful book. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you're a child of God, and you're honoring him and glorifying him, and you're wanting to do your best for him. Now, you may slip up. I'm not saying you're a perfect Christian or anything of that nature, but ultimately in your heart, but I like 16. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look at God's word, how he is telling us to come boldly. Don't come as a little bitty bunny rabbit, you know, with your little nose going, oh God, I don't know, should I, oh please. If you've got your life connected to God, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're honoring God with your entire being and honoring and glorifying him, being used by him, whatever the case is. But you have said, God, you're my God. Then you should be able to come boldly to him, because he's saying that's what you need to do. Come boldly to him. The enemy likes to put within us, oh, Tim, you're not worthy. Oh, Tim, how can you boldly go before God, the Creator? And face that, or call out to him and look what you've done in the past, or look what's happened here or there, or blah, 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 blah. And I go, yeah, that's right. How can I boldly go to him? I guess I'll just be kind of timid. I guess I'll just wait and see what comes my way. Yeah, that's what the devil would say. Yeah, Tim, you just need to be timid. Don't boldly go to him. Don't wake him up. And some people buy that. Hey, well, I guess I better not go, because he's God. But see, our relationship changed when we received Jesus Christ. My righteousness was gone, and now I've got God's righteousness. All that I am is what he's put back into me. I'm a new creation. Devil, I'm a new person. Yeah, in the past, I would be timid to go to him for what I had done or things of my past, and I would know and not be comfortable. But I've turned that all over, and Jesus Christ, by his blood, has washed my sins away. I'm a new person. I've been redeemed. I've been brought back to God. I've been reconciled back to my Creator through that of Jesus Christ in His blood and His dying on the cross. That's what it was all about, is that He sent Jesus to die so that He can reconcile us, because God the Father loves you so much that He says, I want to make a way for you to come back to Me because I love you. And here's how it's going to happen. Receive my Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Cleanse of your sins. Let my righteousness fill you. Oh, Lord. No, the Lord was very right when He says, it's not your righteousness, Tim. First of all, knock that out of your thoughts, because it's my righteousness in you. God comes back into us, and it's like, oh, my. See, as we begin to take that realm of understanding, that's why we can go to Him boldly. Not because of what I am, not because of what I did, but it's because of what He did and what He wants me to do. When we do that and go boldly back to Him and we confess these things and we stand strong, it's just allowing Him to see that, Tim, you understand, my child. You are using it the way that I wanted it to be for everybody. Not to be timid and not to be, you know, cowering down in the things that take place, but to be strong. And when all else things fail, is you need to stand, Tim. And when you stand and it continues on, stand some more and stand some more. But God, I don't have the strength to stand. Oh, that's where God's Word says, when you are weak, I am strong. Father, I am weak. Father, fill me with your strength so that I can stand and fulfill what your Word is saying. Because God wants no more than this. His Word to be fulfilled in your life. His Word to be fulfilled in your life so that you're an apple of His eye. He's going to look down. He's poised. He's looking down there and He says, that's my boy, Tim. He's been through some struggles, but he's standing strong. I've been his help and support, and he continues to cry out to me. I'm going to continue to come to him because he comes to me boldly. I respect him. I reverence him. I honor him. I thank him. I worship him, but I boldly go to him. I'm only doing what he said. I will not fear. So he's there waiting to come, help his oppressed children when they shout for assistance. If I looked at, quickly, it's only 11:30. Wow, 11:35. We find out that how many people like people on their side, you know? You know, as neighborhood kids, when we got into a scrap or something like that as kids, you know, oh, kids will do that. Now you don't want to do that because they'll throw you in jail or something. But back in the neighborhood, you know, you might have a little tussle with some kids or whatever, and you'd have some kids on your side, and there'd be kids on that side, and you might have to, you know, whatever, you know, happens. But isn't it great to have somebody on your side? God's on our side. You believe that? God is on your side. Psalms 118:6 says this, real simple, the Lord is on my side. I will, oh boy, here we go again, I will not fear. I will not fear. Here again, what's it saying? What can man do to me? Now don't get prideful of this and boastful and things like, ooh, look at me, I'm going to stand, what can you do to me? Now, these are things, as I live out my life, and things happen, things change, things come against me, but the Lord is on my side, so I don't have to have fear. In this example of my side in Psalms, this was used in the New Testament in text, especially in Hebrews where we're at, and it reminds Christians of God's faithful provisions of necessities of life. Anybody here need necessities for life? I do. But it goes to give us that comfort, that peace, that assurity that He will meet my needs. He will take care of the necessities for my life. And I trust Him for that. It's not to say that I'm going to live in, you know, 25-room mansion and have, you know, 500 acres of land and, you know, all this stuff. Do I really need that?
No.
But his understanding and my understanding of he's going to take care of my necessities, it's like what it's going to take to live here. And there are wealth in those things. I'm not saying if you've got 25 rooms, that's a bad thing. It's as we look at it individually and as we serve God and what God has for us. But he is by our side, it says. And then as we look at one last scripture in Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. And you go back several verses back and like starts at 18. It's talking about, you know, suffering, from suffering to glory. Amen. From suffering to glory. It's getting better and better. Amen. And that's where we find that 8:28. That's always repeated so many times when people are going through struggles and all. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So that's a digging into thing there for that understanding. But I want to keep going down through this to where in 31 it continues on now and it changes. And it's saying, now what then shall we say? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can be against you? Now, as we look at that, Paul is beginning to raise, like it says here, like I think it's five questions to look at what this is with Christ. First one is, if God is for us, who can be against us? Question one. So is God for you? Yes, he's for me. So who's going to be against me? Then he goes on, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And here's a question. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How should he not, you know, there's a question. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Then who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Here's another. Who? Who? In verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes what for us? Intercession. And the last one says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. I will not fear. We read these things. What is going to separate me from God? Nothing. Except myself. I can separate myself from God by the things that I stop doing or pull away from or start denying because of whatever craziness going on in my mind. But God doesn't pull away from me. I can pull away from him. But what else? These things won't pull him away and they won't even change anything within us because it's a solid connection with him. If we go through this, what, who can do all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's going to be a lot of people against us, amen? A lot of people against the church, I tell you. You know, I tell you what, you want to get a hot debate going, just finding somebody finds out you're a Christian or this or that, and it's like, woo, it's like, my gosh, what's going on here? But we walk in love. That's part of what this is, God's everlasting love. Love, 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 love. That's why God helps us, his love for us. That's why we help others, our love for others. That's why Christ died for us. He loves us. All the things tied into God is, yes, faith, faith, faith. But boy, I tell you what, if you don't have love, you are nothing more than a sounding brass and a clonging or whatever, gong or whatever, you know, just you're nothing. You're just nothing without love. Well, that's another topic to look at down the road as well, you know. So as we looked at verse 37, it says, yet all of these things. Now as I get to the end of where we start out in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It goes through those five things that Paul is asking. Who can do this? Who can do that? Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through Him who what? Loves us. You are loved. God loves you. Get that through your thick heads. You know, if you're saying, oh, how could He love me? He loves you. Amen. God even loves a sinner. That's crazy. Oh no, that's God. God loves the sinner as well. Now we look at this. Conquering. So more than conquerors. Boy, this feeds a little bit here, and it talks about conquering. It's like to over and above. You know, we can break down the Greek and all that, but it just basically starts out this way. The beginning of the word talks about over and above. And to conquer. The word describes one who is... God's word, when He talks about things, it's not just abundance. You know, you talk about, you go look up abundance and things, and it'll say it's super abundance. See, everything with God, it's not just, the world would say, oh, that's abundant. With God, it would be, that's super abundance. With this in more than conquerors, the word describes one who is super victorious. You're not just victorious in this battle or whatever it is that you're dealing with, but you will become super victorious. Everybody say, super victorious. Amen. Super victorious. Yeah, I hope you'll believe it. Who wins more than an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering in achieving abundant victory. That's the thing. I don't look just to survive. Oh boy, here we go. I didn't even think about this. I don't live just to survive. I want my life to thrive. I want that super growth. I want that vigorous growth and whatever the thriving is talking about. It's been a while since I've spoke on that. But it's growing vigorously. It's active. It's moving. That's what God's all about. He's an abundant God. He's a super God. He wants His children to understand, my children, I'm not just giving you just the scraps off the table. I'm giving you a buffet. I'm giving you the best. You are my children. So this word, yet all things, we are more than conquerors. It's describing super victorious who wins more than just an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering and achieving abundant victory. This is not the language of conceit or pride, but it's of confidence of God, of Christ's love and conquering death, and because His love that we have this victory, that we have this more than conquerors. I believe everybody here understands. It's not who you are. It has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with Him. But Him in us and working through us, we can stand. And I can say I will have no fear. I can say I'm going to be more than conquerors. I'm going to be super victorious. Maybe this week when something comes along your path, you better say, I'm not just going to conquer this thing. I'm going to be super victorious over it. And I'm going to have even more than just a victory. I'm going to have the ultimate victory. Whatever. I don't know. But you got to raise it up a level from what the world says. The world says, oh, that'll be a victory. My God says, that's a super victorious victory. Because I'm a super God. Woo! Wow! Well, that's it. The rest is up to you. The rest is up to me. Take His word, read it, look at it, search it out. But His word will bring you life. His word will give you strength. His word will give you peace. His word will give you victory. Oh, yes. And then again, we come back next week and say, Lord, charge us up again if we need to. Let's join together as a body of Christ to where we can feed off of one another, pray with one another, encourage one another, whatever the case might be. Let this be a powerhouse for God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I got to plug into something. You know the one thing about it? These smart, dumb phones. You have to recharge them, recharge them, recharge them. Well, they got apps on here now where, you know, when it's a new phone, when you charge it and it says it's 100%, the thing on my thing says 100% charged, but I can go to a little thing within the phone and it'll say what is the capacity of that charge. And now that it says 100% up here, I look at that and it's only charging at maybe 87%, 88%. So what that tells me is when that thing says, I'm 100% charged, it's really only at the efficiency of about 87% of a battery. I don't know. Just what happens. Things wear out. Recharge, 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 recharge. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, thank you. But when we plug into God, how many of you have been plugging into God for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years? See, the thing with God is, when his reading says you're 100% charged, you're 100% charged. If I was plugged into the world would do that. The world would say, oh, Tim, it looks good, you're 100% charged, but really, you're only about 87% efficient in your battery. That's the world and how the world deals with us. But God works with us that God is 100% God. And what he says is 100% when it comes into my life and I start putting it to work, I don't have to worry about that power, that victory, that strength that he's got into me. When it comes from God, it's 100%. But when God downloads it to me, my spirit says, well, Tim, it's 100% from him. But because you've been calling on him for so many years, you've only got 75% of his power. Oh, man. That's what we would think in the world's ways. But no, in God's ways, says, Tim, when you plug into me and I download 100% of my strength into you, you're going to receive 100% of that, and it's going to be vital, super victorious. It's going to be 100%, nothing waning, because he's God. He's God. Don't give up on him. He's not giving up on you. Don't think you've gone back too many times to cry for help, because he's waiting, poised, waiting, listening, wanting to show you his love for you and respond and say, you will be victorious, Tim. You will come out of this. You will take over. This will not come up. Whatever the case is, you will be victorious. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. I will not fear. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we have come to the close at this time of your word, I praise you and I thank you for what it is telling us and what it's all about. Lord, we learn again more about you and how you are so involved in our life as we turn over to you. And I thank you, Lord, and I pray that each one here today, Lord, as they go through this week, that this will come back. This will reverberate in them somehow, some way, that I will not fear. I will not fear. Because, Lord, you are there with us. And we turn over all of these situations that each one of us might be dealing with, and we're saying, here, Lord, have thine way. And I'm trusting you. I'm walking in faith. And I'm walking in victory. For the Lord thy God is with me. Hallelujah. Bless our time again as we go this week. Let us be encouraged. Let us be strong. Let us share your love with those around us. Love with those around us. Hallelujah. Let them see you in us. And let us do the things that we do, not to bring glory to us, but to honor and glorify you to those around us. Father, we thank you even now as we receive and about to receive the giving, Father. And I thank you for your provision. I thank you for how you take care of us in so many ways. I pray for those that give, bless their giving, bless their home, their finances, their health, their relationships, whatever it might be, Lord. Bless that which is given to meet every need over and above for this church, Lord, as we sow out into other ministries and local and overseas missions. And Father, even to be able to just continue to keep the lights on here and to keep being a church in this community, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for that. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So.